Hello, and welcome back to Live, Laugh, Stuck. I am Jackie, aka Jax. My pronouns are they, them, and this is Moosey.
Hello. My pronouns are also they, them.
We're the They, Them podcast. Hello. And we are here for Act 6, Intermission 2. This is the last easy to separate part of Act 6. It all goes crazy from here, so that's going to be fun. What were your feelings of this intermission?
I think I enjoyed it pretty well. I don't know what was happening at the start and in various spots.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
Are we supposed to know this guy in green that looks like a troll hussy?
It is hussy. It's hussy in cosplay.
Oh, okay. Because I was confused by that. I was like, I don't remember.
It's supposed to be because he has like some of the gray paint is coming off, so you can see his orange underneath.
Oh, I thought he was like splattered with yellow for some reason.
Yeah, no, it's our zebra is white with black stripes or black with white stripes. That's hussy with some gray paint coming off, which was apparently the scourge of all conventions back in the day, was gray paint coming off on everyone and everything.
Hmm. Yeah, I've heard of some stuff.
Yeah, that was also my issue for Halloween. I dressed up as a troll, and I had setting spray that did nothing. It did nothing, the setting spray. So I did find my setting powder after Halloween, so maybe that will be better for the next time I gray up. But yeah, so you have put in an image with what is going on here.
Yeah.
And because it's cosplay troll hussy feeding Spade Slick, robot, now robot Spade Slick. Well, not robot.
Cyborg
Spade Slick. But I keep wanting to call Slade, which is not a different character. Milk, freshly milked from Butler.
That Butler, yeah.
Yeah, but so he's taking care of Spade Slick. And then English shows up with the head of Robot Hussy, who we just still have no real explanation for. But you can see that he was in the office that Robot Hussy was in, took the cape or got his own, I guess. Because if he took the cape, then you'd think that would be mentioned with John and Jade because the cape was covering their whatever. Or the robe, not the cape. And yeah, he shows up and Hussy is worried about Spade Slick. And then we switch to the meteor. We go to the meteor.
We get a long conversation between Carcat and himself.
Fucking great.
I did like the transition between current Carcat becoming future Carcat and then a past Carcat coming in.
Yeah. No, it's I like that we got to see the whole cycle. Mm-hmm. It was fun. We learn a couple of different times here that it has been a year. This is a year jump between when we started the meteor trip and then now, which is about half a sweep in troll time. A sweep is a bit less than 3 years.
Okay, so it's like a kilometer or no, like a meter is 3 feet or something.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know. I always forget how long a sweep is. Like once I thought it was 2 years, but like because the trolls are supposed to be equivalent of 13 years old and they are said to be 6 sweeps. So it's just between 2 and 3 years. We see that the mayor was revived by a dead god tier Feferi.
They're hanging out, best buddies, the mayor and Dave and Rose have been all hanging out. They're on
Terezi. The mayor and Terezi have all been hanging out.
Right.
I did like in the conversation, we got a little mention of like a reference to Dirk and AR. By when two of the same people are talking to each other, one needs to bite the bullet and talk in red.
Yeah.
Carcat gets kind of philosophical about death because meeting all the dead versions of himself and everyone else is like, well, what does it mean to die if you're just still there? and just fucking around in an afterlife that can still interact with the living. I don't know. I think that's very interesting. I like it when things go into what death means. Like Stray Gods, if you haven't played that, it came out this year. It is a musical visual novel. Mm-hmm. Very, very good. And it kind of delves into like the meaningless, like what does death mean when you can't really die?
Mm-hmm.
And I really like shit like that. And Homestuck, I think, does that very well. Even if it's kind of in the background, like Carcat brings it up here, but I don't think it gets brought up like too much in the foreground, but it's always existing mm-hmm. in the background of the meaningless of death.
I mean, there's been a lot of discussion of death in this intermission.
Yeah, I love it. And this is the first hints of Carcat being troll queer, because like they don't have concepts of like gay or bi or anything. They're just attracted to like whatever gender. Like it is Hussy. It's like word of God confirmed that Kanaya is only attracted to women. But mm-hmm. like that's just like a preference, like preferring blondes rather mm-hmm. than like something the trolls care about. But Carcat's love for or attraction to Rezzy and all the different quadrants and just mixing them all up is like a sort of queer, like their queer analog. And mm-hmm. this is the first hints of it. And I really like it. I like different societies' queerness.
Yeah. There was a lot of talk of the different quadrants as well, and I wasn't completely following.
Yeah, that's fair. You're either really into shipping and thus into quadrants, or you're not. If you don't care about shipping, quadrants are fine to ignore.
I know you mentioned or like explained it before. I guess what I remember, or I guess the way I'm coding it in my mind, is like black is a little bit more adversarial and red is a little bit more romantic or something.
Yeah, red is what is considered the closest equivalent to human romantic attraction. Black is like enemies to lovers, but without the two. You know, like you want to kiss me so much, it makes you crazy type mm-hmm. shit. Like they just hate each other. But that's the healthiest versions of it tend to be rivals who make each other want to be better rivals, you know, mm-hmm. like shonen anime protagonist and rival sort of vibes.
Yeah.
And then there's osmotism, which is someone getting in the middle of someone else's like relationship and making sure it doesn't go too crazy. And then there's more allegiance, which is basically queer platonic, like they're best buds in a relationship way.
Yeah.
So actually before like queer platonic became a really common term, people would describe their relationship as more allegiance. And then now a lot of those people have gone on to use queer platonic. It's
yeah,
it's interesting. More allegiance did it first, folks. But yeah, and then Rose comes in and it's Rose monologue time with a couple of Dave talking, but mostly it's just Rose.
Mm-hmm.
And did you, I think you said that you kind of snoozed throughout this?
No, I was watching the read through. I got an hour in and it's like an hour and a half total ish.
Yeah.
And I went and took a nap and I came back.
That's fair. It's a lot. I will be honest, I learned so much more this read through than I ever have in my like four read throughs of this comic so far. There are some pretty basic foundational things that are explained in this Rose monologue that is basically never talked about again as explicitly in the comic, unless I just missed that too. And I understand so many more things than I did before. I've been reading this comic for over a decade, and I am just now understanding some foundational things.
What did you talk about again?
Yeah. So what she does is she is explaining the Alpha Kid session. So I think this is why I kind of noped out, because at first it is just a summary of things we already knew.
Yeah.
It is just explaining that to Dave, how Rose is getting information from the dream bubbles and from like some other sources and books and everything, and figuring out what happened in the Alpha Kids session and kind of preparing for that. And so I'm just going to go through my notes one by one and you can interject if you have any further questions about it, because it's a lot and I don't know how better to go about it.
Mm-hmm.
the beta kid session was what is considered a null session. They are pretty common. And a null session is any session that results in failure and thus was doomed to fail from the start. The new session, the alpha kid session, is essentially the beta kid session rebooted with different parameters, which also affects the original conditions of their universe. So it's, oh my God, we just went over in the ship tier, like how to say Ouroboros, Ouroboros.
Ouroboros.
You know, it's, yeah. So it's like these things are constantly affecting one another.
Mm-hmm.
The alpha kid session is a void session, which is a type of null session. So like square to rectangle. Nothing is
square to rectangle.
Yeah. Like how all squares are rectangles, but not all rectangles are squares.
Yes.
Yeah. So a void session is the type of null session.
Mm-hmm. A subset.
Yeah. So there is nothing prototype before they enter. Mm-hmm. So the underlings and the royalty never upgrade. The battlefield never evolves. And since it never evolves, it can't be fertilized to create the new universe.
Okay. Yeah, I remember this now.
Okay. And because of that, it has no reckoning. So there is no time limit.
Mm-hmm. And they're bringing their stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. The plan is to bring in the beta kids stuff because from the parts of their session that they were successful in, to bring that in, finish it all up, and then create a new universe from that, which really explains some stuff, like stuff that I just like accepted, right? That you won't see for a very, very, very long time. But it really just explains stuff that was happening.
Mm.
But yeah, so I just feel it's so funny how much more I understand from this. And here is something like extremely vital that people have tried to explain to me. But I did not remember it being explained in comic, and so it kind of just went over my head, and I didn't really care about it. So the alpha kids and guardians were created in the beta session and then sent back through beta portals to the alpha session. And then we have a graphic here that was too big to fit in one page of a Google Doc, so I had to shrink it a bit. So here's what I never understood. The alpha and the beta kids are the exact... Like, they're not, like, ectobiologically similar or some weird other thing. They are literally the kids that John sends back in time to create themselves, except an alternate reality is made where Gaia sends them to different time periods and creates the alpha session. Does that make sense?
So when he did his ectobiology, it sent them to the other session at the same time?
Yeah. So when he did the ectobiology, they just were put on meteors. And the meteors then got sent through portals to the time periods relevant in the beta session. But then simultaneously, whenever the scratch happened, that triggered Skaya to change the portal's direction and send them to different time periods.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
I think so. So all of the kids and people are from John's timeline, but the baby versions were sent to the new timeline?
Yeah, it's literally an alternate universe. Like, I thought a scratch, like, destroyed, like, one universe and created another, but, like... They really just altered the original universe to create an alternate timeline, which I never understood. Like, okay, so here's the thing. I was always like, well, Strider says between like Dave and Dirk wasn't really incest because they're like, it's even more distant ectobiology than Rose and Dave in my mind. But no, it's not. It's literally like Dirk is literally bro, except put in a different time period.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a graph that explains all of it and where they got sent.
Like you were saying last time, they basically kind of, in a way, got inverse sent so that the kids from, I still don't know which one's alpha or beta, but the original kids.
Yeah, those are kids. Beta.
They're beta?
Yeah, they're beta.
But they came from...
I know.
I don't know.
It doesn't make sense.
Yes, if you think.
I mean, it probably does. Someone out there is like, actually, it makes sense because of blah blah blah. But think about it, where they're called these. I don't know if they're referenced like these in comic, but John got the beta version of Esper. Like, that's what he was waiting on. While Jane was waiting on the alpha version of Esper.
But that's an even earlier version with more bugs.
Yes. Correct. Correct.
When do we get the gold kids? The ones that are 1.0.
Homestuck 2? I don't know. I haven't kept up with Homestuck 2, but I think that is a plot point of Homestuck 2. So I don't know if it's 1.0, though. But
yes.
But yeah.
They basically flip-flopped who got there earlier than the others.
Yes. Correct. The only people who got really thrown out of place is Roxy and Dirk, instead of being in the same time period as Jane and Jake, got sent 400 years into the future, which is just wild. Rose is like, I don't know why that happened, but it did.
Also, while they're talking, Kanaya's like white or very pale.
Yeah.
Is that?
She's a vampire. That's why.
Oh, okay. I just didn't catch on.
Yeah, no, she was like that when we saw her before, but yeah, you just probably didn't notice because there was a lot of other stuff going on. Hmm. But yeah, no, she's a vampire, and that's why that is.
Okay, yeah. So then they're talking about the quadrant vacillation stuff and romance novel.
Yeah, because Carcat is trying to set up a schedule with Dave onto like where they can, when they can be flushed with Terezi and when they can be, God, I forget all the fucking terms, but basically when they can be red and when they can be black with Terezi. So they're not red or black at the same time, so they can get it all organized and everything. And he's trying to get Dave to read this novel that explains it all. And Rose is like, boop, mine now.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Dave is anti-spreadsheet.
Yeah.
Carcat likes spreadsheet. That's why Carcat's the best.
Yes. I mean, really, a shipping grid is all we need to understand things. It's so I make shipping grids for Fire Emblem.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Especially for Fire Emblem Awakening, where because I think in Three Houses and Engage, you don't have as much exact control over it as you do in Awakening. But I have multiple spreadsheets dedicated to shipping for Fire Emblem Awakening, so to try to get the best pairings
in general for everything in life.
absolutely spreadsheets are the best. We get the term penis Ouija. I keep trying to read the word, but it doesn't sound the same as it looks.
Yeah.
And Kanaya is just off to the side, like thinking about if she needs to auspice their fight because she's a meddler and she just like wants to meddle in every relationship, which is fantastic.
All right. I'm just looking up the etymology of Ouija, because I'm like, I don't know how A turns into an E sound. And they trademark name. The name Ouija comes from, they just use the French word oui, like yes, or yes, and German ja, which means yes. So it's yes, yes. So skin toilet confirmed.
What? That's so dumb.
Oh, wait. Did I send you Skibbity Toilet last time? I don't know if I did.
You did. I haven't watched it yet because the thumbnail doesn't make it appealing.
Yeah, but yeah, 1891 Ouija trademark name. They were lazy. They said French yes, German yes. We're going to mispronounce the ya, the J-A, into E for some reason.
Why? Like, I don't understand that.
Yeah.
The yes, yes board. I'm sorry, but I can't. I can no longer. I didn't take Ouija boards seriously before. I take them even less seriously now. It's like, oh, no, the spooky yes, yes board. We're going to summon a clown demon ghost.
You didn't even go with like French and German words for ghost or anything like that.
No, just yes. It's like the only words they knew, how to count to like 10 in Spanish and maybe some other languages. They're like, okay, well, I know how to say yes in a couple of different languages, and that's all I know. And we'll just mush them together.
And Phantomgeist. But that's too obvious. I don't know.
I don't know. The yes, yes board. Oh my God. That's going to be in my head for a while. And I need to remember to tell Dami after this that it's the yes, yes board.
I'll put the link to the etymology page.
Thanks. Oh, I did forget to say that when we were talking about like the kids and everything and how we're going to meet up with the kids, how Dave was kind of expecting to meet an alternate version of himself. And he didn't really mind that because his life is all about alternate versions of Dave's.
Yeah.
But now he knows he's going to be meeting a kid version of his brother. And he is suddenly not looking forward to it while Rose is. And I love Rose and Bro as a theoretical relationship because Rose has repeatedly expressed like positive interest in Bro and the things he does. Mm-hmm. And I love them together. And I just love them talking. And like theoretically, obviously Rose and Bro don't talk in canon, and you don't know how much Rose and Dirk may or may not talk, but I do love this, and I love everyone who writes them talking, and I love them. They're great. They're like my two inside you are two wolves, and one's Rose and one's Dirk for me.
I don't know what that means.
Oh, it's a Tumblr thing. Are two wolves.
I've heard that, but usually it's like, oh. One wants to go get snacks and one wants to go sleep.
Yeah, well, I don't know. One's Rose and one's Dirk. Listen, it makes sense. They're
fighting inside of you.
Sometimes they're fighting and sometimes they're just like a crystal gem fusion.
Mm.
If I die, what will happen is two little me's will pop out and one's Rose. I'm going way too far with this. That's enough. So yeah, Carcat and Dave are fighting. They're scribbling in this book, which if someone did that to my book, I would murder them. I just would murder them. I get very possessive of my stuff, especially because in high school, like my friends like to mess with my notebooks and I wanted to murder them very badly. But Dave has magic pajamas and you want magic pajamas. I think we all want magic pajamas that are perpetually clean and comfy.
Yeah, especially just when I'm not going to work, I'm basically just in sweatpants and a shirt.
Oh, yeah. I work from home, so it's like sweatpants all the time forever.
Yeah.
I have sweatpants right now. It's very good.
I wish I could wear sweatpants to the classroom.
Yeah, just do casual Fridays or whatever is the last day you go to the classroom.
Casual Wednesdays.
Casual Wednesdays. Listen, it's hump day, sweatpants day.
Mm-hmm. It's not like anyone comes to class in person anyway.
Right. And it's, you know, it's fucking college, like that's sweatpants time, unless you're a business major, in which case you're cursed to have to wear nice things.
I remember having one computer science class in the business building at UMKC, and we'd walk through in our hoodies, and then there'd be everyone else in suits.
Yeah.
Being all fancy.
Sucks for them.
Yeah.
No one should be a business. No. And you screen cap the moment that Carcat gets all tangled in Dave's hoodie right before he suplexes him.
Yeah,
it's very funny. I like how Carcat's like, you are sending the wrong signals and you don't understand.
Yeah,
which is very good. I think this moment is when the Dave Cat shipping started in earnest, like it stopped being a crack ship and started being something like, oh, no, maybe there's something here. But I don't know. I'm just guessing. Then Terezi chimes in and announces that another dream bubble is approaching. So get on deck. Get to the top of the meteor if you want. I really wish I had a map of the meteor. I think that would be fun.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, get up to the top of the meteor if you want to interact with the dream bubbles. And then we switch to the battleship. So it's John and Jade time now.
Mm-hmm. They're playing Ghostbusters MMORPG.
Yes, because it's John's birthday again, which is just the third reminder that it has been a year. Mm-hmm. And it is just perpetually John's birthday. It never stops being John's birthday.
Honestly, this 3-year period on the ship sounds kind of ideal because you're just hanging out with a bunch of salamanders and cute dudes, like cute little. What are the orange, the red ones? Are those also
crocodiles?
Crocodiles.
Yeah.
And the turtles and stuff. And just playing video games with them. And that sounds like a great time to me.
Yeah. Even if the video game is apparently fucking terrible. But Jade can be a furry in it.
Yeah,
that's what counts.
It seems playable, at least.
Yeah, yeah. It's fucking great. Yeah, it is a LAN party. Like, there's all the cords going everywhere in the picture with Dave Sprite. I have to imagine Dave Sprite was the one who set it all up.
Mm.
And Dave Sprite is now one word. So okay. I don't know if the fandom changed it and Hussey just went with it, or if now we have gone to Dave Sprite being one word. And that just naturally happened because Dave Sprite is now an identity rather than the Sprite version of Dave.
Mm.
So.
Side note, maybe if I have yellow yarn left over, maybe I'll make myself a winter salamander cap.
That would be very cute.
That'd be salamander. That'd
be very cute. Yeah.
If we were playing a Homestuck video game and everyone got to create their characters, I would just be salamander.
Yeah. I mean, there is a Homestuck video game, but you can't be a salamander, so.
I would modify the video game and be a salamander.
That's fair. Speaking of which, okay, I am going to go off on a side tangent that may or may not be cut. But I am surprised that I have not heard of there being a Homestuck video game, as in playing Homestuck as a video game. Because, like, it starts out seeming like that. Like, there is a cursor at the beginning of Homestuck and everything. Yeah. And, you know, people have, like, recreated Esperb. Like, that's Project Genesis, I think is what it's called. It's on Steam, and I keep meaning to look back at it, and I just haven't. Because the first time I tried to play it, I could not figure out how to play it, and I think it just kind of sucked. But that's been years since I tried to do that, and now it's on Steam, so maybe it's better, and I just haven't done it. But like, actually, like, playing through as John, doing all the things as John, because, like, we get some gameplay interspersed in it, and what if the whole thing was just a game? And I think I'm not saying it would be like easy to make, especially when we get to the later stuff, but I think the first couple of acts at least would be like not terribly complicated to turn into a walk around, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm just kind of surprised that that hasn't been a new avenue to experience Homestuck through. I'm surprised no one's made it.
I suppose that it would be like a lot of asset and level creation work. And in that regard, I would make it like an open source game if I were like to make the engine for that sort of thing. So everybody could contribute.
Well, like, because people have ripped assets from Homestuck and people have made like plenty of like kid assets and stuff and like plenty of other assets. Like, I feel like the assets are all out there, or at least a lot of them are.
Yeah. But like, have you ever used RPG Maker?
I have, yes.
Okay, so
you bought it for like, me at one point.
Oh, okay. I do love my RPG Maker. But yeah, it'd just be like a lot of map building and hooking up like this teleports to this location and this event just occurs here and there. But
I'm just saying that maybe if I get the urge to start another project, like another group project, then this should be what I do. I did have another group project that was going on. And I got some people interested in it. And then everyone was just too busy. And most of the people stopped replying to like any of the, okay, well, who wants to start tackling this? And no one fucking responds. Does anyone have opinions on this? And no one fucking responds. And I don't want to call them out because I get it. It was my passion project. But the people who were like invested in it just also didn't have a lot of time and were also waiting on more responses. And then it kind of died, as projects sometimes do.
I mean, that's why I would make it open source, because if it's in like a public repository, people can just kind of create like they make a fork, they add whatever changes, and then they create a merge request. So basically people can work independently and then say, hey, please merge this to the base game or whatever.
I'll so just I have think... to remember how GitHub works.
Yeah.
But because I did learn GitHub when I learned my website stuff, because, you know, it makes sense. And then I could have like a Discord server that people could come to and discuss things. Cause the thing is I'm not smart enough. Like, this is, I don't want to say smart enough, but like my brain doesn't work the way that like other people's do, where I can do some basic programming, but there are people who just like know shit. Like, I'm in a server for, Inkle, which is the company that makes, ink, which is what I'm currently using to write a game I'm working on. If you want to check it out, it's on itch.io/Amberlin. It is the Kytus demo.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm working on that, and just like people are just, they just say so much in there, because Ink is also open source. So people are doing like dev work on on their own versions of Ink, or just like you can combine it with JavaScript. I mean, it's already combined with JavaScript, and you can port it to Unity and Godot and Unreal, I think, and just like other shit. And it's just they're saying stuff that I don't understand, even though I understand some like basics. I guess is what I'm saying is like, I just want to set up projects for other better people to work on. I want to be a project manager. Damn it.
Sure. Well, after we're done recording, let me show you Christmas Horse.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I keep meaning to look at it.
Yeah, because I'll show you the current version that's almost done, and you'll be able to see the different gameplay styles that are in the game.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if that could be translated into Homestuck stuff.
Yeah, maybe. Because I did start working on an RPG Maker game. I started working on a game in Game Maker is just what it's called, which is it's just funny. RPG Maker, Game Maker, it is what it says it is.
Yeah.
But I actually started working on an ADHD game in a Game Maker that I need to go back to. I'm just not a visual person. And that's why I'm working on interactive fiction now. Because I just don't get I'm just bad at like what is visually appealing and what visually needs to happen. Anyway, what were we talking? Oh, yeah. LAN parties, MMORPGs, playing with salamanders and stuff. So they're talking about romance stuff because like John's like, OK, Jade, like I can tell that there's a thing between you and Dave, Sprite, blah, 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 blah. And Jade's like, oh, has he said anything? And John's like, no. So that's going on.
Yeah. In the meantime, it seems like both from John and Terezi individually speaking, since they've had time away from the first half of Homestuck story a year ago, they seem to be putting things more into perspective now.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because we haven't gotten much to what Terezi says, I guess, yet in this conversation. But yeah, like John, I put this quote in. At this point, I could not give less of a rat's ass about romancy stuff. And I said, music to Moosey's ears.
Yeah.
I'm all about aromantic Jake. And I always like an alloromantic John because I like shipping him with a lot more people. But like this is really like maybe the Prospect Boys are just aromantic and that's just what they are. Or like on the aromantic spectrum.
No.
And that's good for them. Sorry, I'm not trying to railroad you. I'm just trying to get through like the plot stuff and we can get to Terezi and we can like circle back to Terezi and John having this perspective.
Yeah. Now in the gaming they were interrupted by Cat Sprite? Jasper Sprite?
Yeah, Jasper Sprite.
With a birthday cake. I don't know or remember why Jade is mad about birthday song.
Because Jade's a part dog now.
Dogs don't like birthday song?
No.
oh, because it's a cat?
Jasper Sprite's meowing it.
Oh. Okay, I was confused. I thought she had some, like, baggage related to birthdays.
No, it's Jasper Sprite's meowing it, which is riling up the dog part of Jade.
Side note, did I tell you about the person who, like, banned me from his servers and stuff earlier this year because I wished him a happy birthday?
What?
So, yeah, that's a thing.
Oh, no wonder you immediately went to, obviously, Jade has some trauma about birthday songs.
Yeah. I was confused.
Wild.
Mm-hmm. People on the internet are fun.
Yeah. Yep. So, John tries chasing after them, but they have, like, they're able to, like, go through walls and, like, teleport and shit. So, he just runs into a wall and gets knocked the fuck out. In which he meets a sleeping Roxy floating around and then a ghost fish alien who we learn is Mina.
Mm-hmm.
It's really funny because John doesn't know that there's like a whole second set of dead aliens. Like we obviously know who Feferi is. So we know that she's not that Mina is not the fish alien Feferi.
Right.
But John doesn't know that. And I think that's neat. I think it's neat to like remind us what John doesn't know.
Yeah, because they haven't met a lot of the trolls.
Yeah. So, like, by this time, like, Dave and Rose are more familiar because now, you know, they've been through all these dream bubbles, while John and Jade don't go through nearly as many dream bubbles as the meteor crew do. I actually forgot that they went through dream bubbles at all. But right now is like this weird voidy place. I don't think it's quite a dream bubble. I think it's just this weird voidy place, but I could be wrong.
As a side note, if there were a Homestuck MMO we were making, we could do dream bubbles as people's housing or something.
Yeah, that would be cute.
But yeah.
And then I like John's little tangent about how, like, you don't see many ghost aliens. Usually it's a ghost movie or an alien movie, and they don't really interact.
She's just like, okay.
Okay, you fucking nerd. And I actually wrote a Homestuck parody of Masked Intruder's Hello Beautiful about this meeting called Hello Blue Boy. Actually, it might not be this meeting. It might be a different meeting later on, but I'm pretty sure it's this one. And I don't know. That's just a little thing that I don't write many fan parody songs, but I did write this one. And no one knows what Masked Intruder is. If you do, shout out.
I do not.
They are a small punk band that their whole shtick is they are robbers. They're criminals. Like, they wear like those ski masks. And if you see them without a ski mask, they pretend they have no idea what you're talking about if you try to talk about the band. And yeah, so all of their songs are about like breaking into people's houses and being in jail and shit. But they're like romantic about it. So Hello Beautiful is like, hi, I'm in love with you. But you're not so happy to see me break into your house like this, but like, what if we were like together, you know? And it's fucking great. It's like, I don't know, all their shit is great.
Cool.
Mina is so chaotic because she's just like wants to fucking dab Roxy for no goddamn reason other than like she's there and she has a trident. And trident's meant for stabbing.
When John got hit by the trident, I have like two questions about it. Does that affect Dream John in any way? Did that kill him?
So I think what happened is he woke up right before he got hit. Okay. Or right as he was getting hit. But we don't see it actually impale him. Okay. So I think just as he was getting hit, he happened to wake up. And I really like that we get a glimpse of Dave and Rose, or at the very least Dave, like seeing John.
Yeah.
Fucking like, oh, hey, John. And then before like they can interact at all, it's like, ah, oh, fuck, John, you idiot. And then he wakes up.
That was my other question, was like, that was them also in a dream. Like they happened to intersect in that time.
Yeah. So this is the dream bubble that Terezi mentioned was coming, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, okay.
And so they went on to the meteor and they saw this, but they didn't see it until John was like just leaving.
Mm-hmm. That's cute.
It is. It's just so sad because like, they just almost are able to interact and they just miss each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go more into dream bubble stuff with the meteor kids, primarily. I think it's primarily Terezi, right?
Yeah.
Or is it just Terezi at this point? Yeah, it's just Terezi at this point.
So I was also confused, like, why is there a meteor outside of trees? Or is it a dream bubble of trees?
It's a dream bubble.
Okay.
The meteor. So you know how a lot of dream bubbles start as a memory?
Mm-hmm.
So this is starting as one of Terezi's memories and she lives in a tree and then it just kind of expands from there.
Okay.
So I really like this memory because it's right after Vriska blinds Terezi and is still bleeding out and stuff. And I just love her sense of justice of Vriska's, because she's like, listen, you maimed me. I maimed you. We're like, cool now, right? Like, it's all even. We can put everything behind us. It doesn't matter anymore.
Hmm.
I don't know. It's very funny. Vriska's sense of justice, because like she does have a sense of justice and how to, I don't know. It's just, Vriska is very interesting. She's not just a force of chaos who just does whatever, like she does do whatever she wants, but she also has a sense of logic behind it, even if sometimes she twists the logic to fit what she wants. But like she like does not hold any real animosity towards Terezi after she blinds her. But then come find out it's not Vriska. She's not able to meet up with Vriska. It's Arania. Or Aranea, as Dami says, which like I get it because I say Aradia and Arania, and those get confusing.
Yeah.
Instead of Aradia, like a lot of people say, and Aranea, as is apparently the actual like Greek way to say it.
The thing with English, we have a tendency to pronounce our vowels differently throughout the entire word.
Yes.
So usually if you keep the vowel sounding the same the entire way through, that's usually the more correct pronunciation.
Well,
unless it's French, I think.
Unless it's French, in which French does whatever it wants.
At least that's how it seems from the outside.
Yeah. So Arania is the second big info dump. We had Rose and we have Arania, and they're both light players, and they're just big old info dumps, which is why it wouldn't be wrong to classpec me as a light player if you really wanted, because I like to talk, but it's also called having ADHD. So
having a special interest.
Yeah. So Arania mostly talks about how, like, her session was the original session that then got scratched to turn into the troll session.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have any questions about how that? I feel like Arania's explanation is fairly straightforward. There's not a whole lot of complicated to it, right?
Yeah, mostly just that her world of the troll world was different and less warfare-like, but I got lost on who is Milkshake.
That's Doc Scratch.
Why is he called?
That's what Terezi called Doc Scratch.
Okay. I forgot.
Because his text is white and she likes to foodify colors because she tastes them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I see.
So, yeah. So, Doc Scratch is responsible for making the troll, the new troll world, Alternia, more warlike in order for them to succeed at the game.
Mm-hmm.
Which, like, I mean, their whole world is set up to succeed at the game better. Like, they start off building their own houses as, like, grubs. Like, when they come out of the cavern, they build their own house to prepare them for the game. So yeah, and you were saying that John and Terezi are putting the previous half of Homestuck into perspective with distance. Do you want to expand on that?
Oh, just the way they're talking about what things have happened. Like, it feels less immediate of this just happened and more hindsight, like.
Yeah, and Terezi's been really dwelling on killing Friska and how, like, what if there were more options than the two that she saw? Like, what if she was too focused on those options and, like, ignored something that would not have led to the death of Friska or everyone?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. It's very sad, like, because they were raised to believe that this sort of thing is, like, what you do is you kill other trolls. Like, that is your race. Like, there's no problem with killing other trolls. It's part of what you do. Maybe there's a little thing because Terezi, like, killed someone of a higher blood cast, but, like, they're, like, right next to each other on the blood cast, so it's not as big of a deal. But, yeah, and she's just been, like, really dwelling on it, and, like, what if she's not as good of a seer as she should be, and Arania offers to heal her sight, which I like a confirmation that sometimes the powers that you have are a little bit literal. Like, being a sylph is a healer. She is a sylph of light, so she can be a healer of light, and so she can heal sight. I just like the bit of delving into more classpec stuff. Okay, and then we get to the last section, which is Hussy Time Part 2, where Hussy throws Slick over the side of the balcony to save him and tries to fight English, but English just shoots him full of bullets until he dies. And then we see Friska in the afterlife, just walking through what seems to be an endless desert, and finds dead Hussy, who is talking about Rufio, which Rufio in this instance is Rufio from the movie Hook.
Oh.
It's really funny because after this point or around this point, Dante Bosco, the person who plays Rufio, and if you don't know, Zuko from, actually, like, gets prompted to read Homestuck, and, like, Hussy and Dante Bosco become, like, friends after this, which I think is great. Like, can you imagine, like, someone that you're just kind of fucking memeing on and you show, like, making out with his dead body in one, like, earlier in the comic? And it's just like, yeah, we're buds now. So Dr. Basco, like, unironically read and enjoyed Homestuck. And then Hussy proposes to Friska, and that's where it ends.
Yeah. So Hussy is also in a dream bubble because Hussy died.
Yes. Yeah. Hussy is dead. Death of the author for real. And is now in a dream bubble proposing to Friska because, like, at this point, everyone was, like, in the fandom was making fun of Hussy for, like, Friska being his favorite. So it's, like, you know, already calling, like, Friska his girlfriend or his waifu and shit like that. So it got ported over to the actual comic. So, yeah. And that is the end of Act 6, Intermission 2. End of year 3.
Yeah. I'm Sorry, for some reason I can't go past the page. I'm waiting. I'm trying to get past the page again because it's an animation.
Oh, yeah. I got really annoyed at that animation because I tried to go back to a previous page and I actually kind of hate that page because you can't go through it as quickly.
Yeah.
And so I just ended up typing up in the browser the next page.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of trying to go through that. I love the Unofficial Homestead Collection. Like, it works like a real browser where you can have tabs and you can just type in the next page number. And it's just so good. The Unofficial Homestead Collection is so good. I recommend it to everyone.
I can't imagine. Like, I can't not even imagine. It.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I went on to the regular Homestuck website for something. I was looking something up and I didn't feel like opening the thing. And it's just like, oh, yeah, all these flashes are just terrible YouTube videos now. Which, like, some of them work fine as YouTube videos, but some of them are just like impossible, you know? Like, these just cannot have the same vibes as having like the entire webpage change.
Yeah. The webpage looks weird, too. It has this black bar on the side for me. I don't know if that's supposed to be where a banner ad was.
There is a banner ad over there for the Homestuck books.
Okay. Well, the banner ad either doesn't load, or maybe it's my ad block stuff, but it's just a black background.
Yeah, it's probably your ad block. Back in the day, Homestuck was using, I think the website was called Project Wonderful. It was a really, really popular way to add advertisements to your thing because people could just buy it. And so, like, really small webcomics, you could just buy advertisements on it for like 2 cents, 4 cents. And it would just like increase the more people who wanted to buy ads. So, like, people were buying ads on the Homestuck website for their fan ventures or just to like have some sort of like risk it didn't do anything wrong type shit on it. And I think that's great. I miss Project Wonderful. I bought ads on Project Wonderful for some tiny webcomic sites and stuff. And I don't know if it was actually like a bad thing, if something actually sucked about it that I didn't know about. But every webcomic website I knew of used Project Wonderful advertisement.
That is kind of an interesting way to just add additional like fan content to a comic.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like you could sell because like, you know, obviously like other people could buy ads, but it was all, I don't know if maybe like it just got taken over by like bigger companies like buying ads. I don't know why it ended. I don't know why it closed, but it was just like anyone could just buy an ad. Like usually it was other webcomics buying ads, but for Homestuck, it turned into fan interaction. But sorry, you were looking something up?
Oh, I was just looking at the homestuck.com or whatever website.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, homestuck.com. It's so funny because I go to like other like fan websites so much, so like homestuck.net and homestuck.info get pre-filled before homestuck.com does. Homestuck.net is a really good resource for just a bunch of shit. It's like an archive of a bunch of shit. Like they have cosplay resources, they have fan games, they have an archive of videos and comics and stuff. It's run by Macon, who runs the Homestuck Discord. So there was in the Homestuck Reddit. So there was a lot of discourse around that back when it first launched. And a lot of people demanded their shit get taken off. And I really hate that. Like, I get that Macon has bad optics, like kind of sucks, just like general. He's not like a bad person, but he just kind of sucks. From my understanding, I've never talked to the guy, but like he makes such great resources that you just sometimes you have to deal with people who kind of suck in order to have these great resources that they're putting the time and the effort into, you know? That's just how the world works. Sometimes people just kind of suck. So yeah, it's a really good archive for like a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, I'm looking at the games page right now. There's a bunch of little things.
Yeah, I haven't played a lot of the games, but they do have a match 3 game on there that I did play and do enjoy.
It's a Terezi Pyrope Ace Attorney.
Yeah, that's super funny. There ends up being a mini Ace Attorney section in Hiveswap Act 2, which we still need to finish playing Hiveswap Act 1. But we have so much comic to read.
Yeah.
And like other shit to do that it's hard to find time in between all this shit.
Various romance visual novels.
Oh, yeah. I have one that keeps getting discovered. I guess people just search Homestuck on Itch. And so mine pops up. But I have Not Another Homestuck Dating Sim. And it's a bunch of nothing. For one, I can't draw very well. But so I just have like a really quick thing where you can romance one of my fan trolls.
Mm-hmm. What did you call it?
Not what did I call what?
Another Homestuck thing?
Yeah, not another Homestuck.
Okay, I see it. I found you. I'm already following you.
Yeah, you are one of my four followers on Itch. Do people call it Itch, or do they call it itch.io? Because I just call it Itch.
Itch.io. I've heard itch.io.
Itch.io.
Not sure what my preference is.
But people keep finding it. Like, before they'll find anything else, they'll find that.
Mm-hmm. Should do Live, Laugh, Stuck, the podcast, the game.
What would that be?
I don't know. Take clips of audio.
I did start making an interactive fiction game about getting into Homestuck. I need to look at that and figure out what the fuck that was about. Mm-hmm. I have a game I have hidden on there that was back when I was using Twine back in, 2013. So it's like a really old version of Twine.
Mm-hmm.
I made a Harry Potter fan game where you get a letter to go to Hogwarts. It was really good. I know that Harry Potter has bad optics now because J.K. Rowling sucks, which is why it's not public facing.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a lot of fun. I had a lot of, like, I don't get very far in it. I had plans for a lot of shit, but I get to a bit after you get sorted. I think I might get up to the first class or just get into the dormitories, but like there's already different friend groups you can make. I just have a lot of background things going on. You can choose your family, whether it's like three wizard dads or like two muggle moms and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's a lot of fun. And I'm just some random shit on that thing. I have my 100 word interactive fiction called A Man in a Room. And I think that's fun on a theoretical basis, I guess. Like it's just 100 words. So there's not a lot to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know what a Live, Laugh, Stuck game would be.
There's a $1 you should read Homestuck game, a game for two players, one of whom is trying to get their friend to read Homestuck.
Nice.
Yeah, just a lot of stuff on itch.io.
Yeah, I've never actually browsed itch for Homestuck stuff. I usually only browse itch for assets.
Yeah, it's not a lot. There's not a ton like I would expect there to be, but also, you know, itch came out only vaguely recently.
Yeah, I think a lot of the Homestuck games came out like on their own sites or
itch before. Came out 2013.
Yeah, before itch got big, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly, I just know there's a shit ton of TTRPGs on itch. That's what I know itch is for. It's TTRPGs.
Yeah. There's RPGs and stuff on there, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, end of year 3.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll start. Let me see. Let me get a preview of
6-3 says 427 pages.
Yeah. Let me bring up Raffae. I love that the preview for it is a generic anime girl.
Oh, that.
Oh my god.
The 663?
Yeah.
Because we're on 6-3.
Oh god, we are on 6-3. I clicked on the wrong thing. It's because I had 662 having been clicked on, so I just clicked on the next one. My bad.
I think that
I was like anime girls that from we like got a, to that.
A draw your own manga image.
It is. You're right. You're right. That's what it is.
I remember those books.
That is actually how I learned to draw from one of those books.
Mm-hmm.
Back in junior high.
They were pretty good compared to a lot of other kind of knockoff how to draw anime books.
I just love that it was like some girl, like some like 16-year-old or something, did it. That's just who made it. It's some kid. And I love that for her. Oh god, the summary on this one goes on for years. Oh yeah, we started getting into some shit. I'm very excited. Okay, I think we start off with a game.
Okay.
A little mini game, so that's gonna be a lot. I'm really gonna, I'm using up recording time to figure out where we stop or get a general idea. Any last thoughts on this intermission?
I think it covered things and had some more character interactions. That was nice.
Yeah. Very wordy. Clarified some stuff that I needed clarified, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
We got names for the two new trolls, which was nice.
Yeah.
That we'd seen before, Mina and Arania. That way I don't have to keep being like, oh, the new blue troll.
I need to make a spreadsheet.
You do. Which I did send you a spreadsheet of the characters we know so far and their the class and aspect. And I can add more characters to that as we get to know them, if you would like.
Well, I could also just like create a Google sheet or something.
Yeah.
We'll see the next set of thing. Any preview for, like, how would you pitch the following game that is coming up to me?
Oh, the following game, the mini game. I mean, it's, I think you do actual puzzles in this one because, you know, a lot of, they talk about how there's puzzles in Esperb for you to solve, like mm-hmm. a normal RPG. And you actually do some of them in this mini game, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But the next section is like the it's just got some more iconic flashes towards the end because mm-hmm. I think it has Dirk Unite synchronize, which is fucking great, fucking classic. I'm a Dirk fan, but like it's not even just among Dirk fans that's pretty iconic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean we're getting into stuff where I get things mixed up like a bit more. We get more information on. UU in lowercase UU, so it's more character introduction stuff. But that's just going to be the next little while is more character introductions.
Homestuck is the story of character introductions.
It is, but I think it's neat. But I like it is more learning Esperb again of these characters learning Esperb. But I think it does like keep a lot of stuff, and then it is different because they didn't prototype anything.
Mm-hmm.
Before they entered, so there's no underlings or anything. It's just the puzzles, and I think it's neat that you get to solve puzzles in the mini game again. I can't remember for sure it's this one that you solve puzzles in. I know there is a mini game for the Alpha Kids session in which you solve puzzles.
Okay,
which might be this one.
We will see.
So I think that's fun if you like puzzles.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. Seeing how the kids get in the game is fun, and it's very dramatic sense because they can't just get in undramatically.
Yeah, we already had Acts 1 through 4 of kids getting into the game.
Yeah.
And then Acts 5-1 of trolls getting into the game. Something like that.
And then we got Jane into the game at the end of XX Act 2. And this one is getting the rest of them into the game. This is all of them getting into the game in this act.
Okay.
So it won't be spread out over a lot longer time. Like everyone who needs to get into a game gets into a game in this act.
Okay. So just like triple the size of Homestuck by repeating the same pattern of waiting to get everyone in the game.
Yeah. It's very funny because I posted my ship tier in this server I'm in for, it's a fan server for the Besties podcast. And so I just posted my shit in there. Someone's like, oh yeah, I keep meaning to get into Homestuck. Like I left off in like act 5. And I'm like, oh, so you have the whole second half of Homestuck to go in there. Like, what? There's only one more act. I thought I was almost done. I'm like, nah, 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 nah. That's the second half of Homestuck.
Yeah.
But we're getting through it. It adds some more greater lore. I'm just remembering it fondly. So I'm like, I think Moosey will like these parts. It does have some more relationship drama because that's just the Alpha Kids.
Yeah.
But it does have some other stuff. So I'm excited. I already closed the Rafe tab or else I would have looked at it more and explained some more stuff.
That's okay.
But sorry, Tommy, you're going to have to cut off some meandering here at the end, but it'll be fine. But yeah, so we'll be doing that.
Cool.
Maybe we'll get around to actually playing more Hive Swap.
Jackie.
Huh?
Said give Jackie money.
Give Jackie money. I am like the money goes to supporting this podcast. I am currently making about enough or maybe a little bit less than enough for the actual hosting costs. But I also like pay Dami to edit. So yeah, like the money you give me isn't just going to like random shit. It's like going to host the podcast and paying for the editing and and stuff like that. So that is ko-fi.com/JaxYaks. I have a bunch of other projects going on, which I have a newsletter. It's JaxYaks.substack.com. I have my website, livelaughstuck.com, which has a guest page I'm still updating because I have a shit ton of guests and I haven't finished putting them on there, where you can like find links to everything they're doing and all the projects that they talked about. Like I said, that's still a work in progress. But I also have, if you listen to my ship tier episode or watch the video, or you don't give a shit about watching the video, but you want a list of ship tiers, I have that on livelaughstuck.com. There's a link to that. So that's the thing you can check out if you're interested. I have games on itch.io/Ambrolin, AMBROLEN. I have a Discord. Please check out the Discord. Like, we're actually like talking in it more, and it's a pretty good group of people in there. And it could always, it's pretty small, which to me is a plus. I like small Discords, but I won't hate you for making it bigger.
Yeah. I mean, once it gets to where there's like tons and tons of conversation, I have a hard time keeping up with
forums. I have, there's this one Discord I really want to interact more in, but it's just too much. Like, I try to interact more in there and I just immediately got overwhelmed. It's just like, even like limiting it to like 5 channels, it's just so much conversation. But this one's pretty chill. Mm-hmm. We just have a chill, good time. What else do I want to plug and forget to plug? I mean, there's the YouTube channel, Live Laugh Stuck. There is, I never post on the Instagram anymore. I forget that it exists. Yeah, I mean, there's that shit. Moosey, what's your shit?
Moosadee.com, MOOSADEE.com has links to my games and also educational programming resources and constructed language stuff.
Oh, yeah. You mentioned this is a terrible time to put this in, but you mentioned troll constructed language stuff. And I just wanted to let you down that the troll language is just, it originally just was the Daedric letters.
I know it was the font.
And then that got changed, but it is still pretty much just find and replace letters.
It's just a cipher.
Yeah. Which you'll see more about that in the next part of Hive Swap Act 1. You'll see some of that. But, you know, just for copyright reasons, they had to change it.
Okay.
The copyright stuff that Homestuck gets away with is great. Oh, yeah. Dami has a SoundCloud. She's trying to add more stuff to, but because she made this podcast theme song, the current one, the old one was made by me. But she has that on soundcloud.com/dominothief. She made this one. It's called Dirty Dirtkin. There's a longer title for that I always forget. And she made the theme song for Fake Gamer Bro, which is a thing I want to record and update more. I have ideas for that, and I just haven't done them yet. Which is Puzzlin', which was an already existing song that she let me use for the theme song. She has a cover of the parody song I'm English on there, which is very good. She's got a lot of good shit on there, is what I'm saying. And everything that we've mentioned is all linked in the description. The YouTube, the Tumblr. I didn't mention, but there's a Tumblr. Moosey's stuff, Dami's stuff. It's all in the show notes. So check that out. Check out the newsletter is the best place to keep up with me. I publish it about once a month. And it's like, well, the Discord is the best place. The newsletter is the second best place. Because I just can't update all these different fucking social media now that Twitter's dying. So yeah, go check all that out.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's it. It's a longer outro than I mean, but I keep forgetting to plug the Discord because it's just there. But it's all in the show notes. It's all on jaxyax.com. It's all on livelaughstuck.com. It's all everywhere. All the time. Goodbye.
Bye.